You guys are always such a blessing to be with. It's just, we love being with you guys. You just are family to us. And sorry, Pam, I actually have to disagree with you. We're not friends. We're family. we're family, you know. And you guys are family to us, and we love that. Wow. I want to just take a moment before we do carry on, and without losing any of the atmosphere that's here, but just let you know of a couple of the resources that we brought with us. One of the things that you'll find, and you guys will have seen this already, is that God is raising up sons and daughters who know what it means to operate as sons and daughters of the kingdom. And many of you will have seen video clips of a young guy, Todd White. He's not so young now as he was when people first started hearing about him. But Todd is this is a 2-CD teaching set of Todd's about the sons and daughters that are arising, and the whole thing of them going out and setting people free and operating as sons and daughters in their everyday life. Todd does a lot of street ministry and sees healings everywhere he goes out on the street. And so he's just taken that knowledge that he's a son of God and has the right to operate and release the kingdom wherever he goes. So that's a great CD set. Another one, many of us, all of us at some stage, have struggled with disappointment. This is a book by Bart Hadaway on how to deal with disappointments. It's a brilliant wee book, and how disappointment actually does do what the word says. It disappoints us. It takes us out of the place of our appointing, out of the place of our appointment, and it sidelines us and distracts us and causes us to operate at a far lesser level than what we were created to operate in. So this talks about how to break the strongholds associated with disappointment, how to see healing come to your heart in those areas. A great wee book. And the other thing I just want to highlight is I don't know whether we've already talked about it, because have we been here this year? I can't remember. Not for a while. So much has happened this year. I can't remember so much has happened. This is Rob's new CD. It's called Freedom Song, and it's an instrumental CD. It's created every bit of money that's raised from it goes to setting people free from human trafficking. We don't get anything from this CD. All the money goes to the XP work in Cambodia, where they're rescuing women and children out of human trafficking. So the CD is created to tell the journey of a person who is longing for freedom, coming into a place of freedom. So it takes you on that journey into a place of freedom. The tracks are Longing, The Sound of Hope, Arms of Love, Walking into My Dreams, A Skip in My Step, Brand New Day, Freedom Song, and then ending in a place of rest at Tranquil Waters. So that's a brilliant CD. It's got, you know what Rob's music sounds like, you know, he played this morning, so you know what he brings on the keyboard, and it does take people on that journey into a place of freedom. So that's a great CD. It's called Freedom Song, and everything from that goes to the work in Cambodia, which is very exciting. Andrea was telling us, we saw her when we were over at Patricia's just a couple of months ago, And we had a great time there too. And you guys were, you know, such a part of us being able to be there. It was just, thank you so, so much. And had an amazing time at the internship there. We were there for just over a month, helping Patricia run the internship that she runs each year, which is a preparation for ministry internship. And you have people that are preparing to go into ministry or people that have been in ministry for a while who need refreshing in ministry that come to that. And for a month, they just were there and being ministered to, prophesied over. We went on outreaches. They did some stuff on preparing sermons with them, how to use social media in ministry, prayer and all the different aspects of prayer. Just covered a huge amount of stuff in that month with them. And we were able to be a part of that and then help at the Women on the Frontlines International Conference, which is an amazing conference that Patricia runs each year. And over 2,000 women just being ministered to by multiple speakers. Funny, people go, Did you enjoy the conference? And we go, like, yeah, what did they speak on? Having a clue, we never got to any of the sessions. We were working, you know. It's like, it's so funny, you know. People think you just sat there for the whole week and, you know, in the conference and just enjoyed all the sessions. And I think I got actually in the lecture hall, I think three times, for about a quarter of an hour each time. And the rest of the time we were working. So, you know. It's funny, eh? You know, people are like, did you, you know, you come away from a time of ministry and people go, did you enjoy your holiday? And it's like, yeah, love it. Hey, but I want to pick up a little bit from what Rob was, what was happening this morning and go from there into something else. But just the incredible atmosphere of heaven, that it's still here. You can still feel it just sitting in the room. You know, it's just, and the access. And I don't know what was happening for each of you during that time, but I could see multiple things happening in the spirit and different revelations that were being released. And but one of the things I want to talk about is how during a time like that, it's a brilliant time when you're in a place like that to begin to access revelation, you know, and to have your receptors open to what God wants to bring. And one of the things that during a worship time like that, when the atmosphere of heaven is so thick and so much can happen, is to begin to ask God to give you access to the book that was written about you. And I want to talk a little bit about that and go from there into something else. But when we were born, every one of us, our life was pure potential. It was just, there was no limits, you know, on placed on us, really, apart from maybe some physical limitations. But the reality is, even when we have physical limitations, it doesn't limit who we are and the things that could happen in our lives. But most of us, as we grow, our potential is limited and is decreased by the things that happen to us. And a lot of us get talked out of our potential, don't we? You know, we get talked out of it by the comments that are made over our lives, the things that are said to us, the things that happen to us. And we know in Jeremiah, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And most of us are very very aware and very used to those verses, but sometimes I think we underplay them, you know, and we don't hook into them the way that we could. But Psalm 139. I'm just going to try and access that. I can't find where I put my actual flesh, in, you know, my physical Bible, so I'm having to access everything at the moment on the Bible and my iPad, and I don't find it quite as easy. It's just different from turning to actual pages, you know what I mean? Some of you will know exactly what I mean. Some of you are like me, you're like books and paper and pages that you can turn. Totally off the subject. Can I go off the subject just for 1 second? How many of you love walking into bookstores and smelling the books? Sorry. Some of us are just funny, aren't we? But that's all right. We're allowed to be. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance, let's find a different version, because that's King James, and that's like boring as old biscuits. That's right, NASB here. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. So before we were formed, God knew us, he dreamed us, he had plans for us, and he wrote them down, and he put them in a book. Why would God need to do that? If God is God, who knows everything, has a memory that never forgets anything, why would he need to write down our days in a book? He likes books too. He likes books too. Yes. Books are a God thing. Was it just for his benefit? No. It was for our benefit. And not just for our benefit, but for all of heaven's benefit. So that all of heaven can see who you are and the plans that he has for you and can cheer you on and pray for you. And you think, pray for me? Do they pray in heaven? Why wouldn't they? Jesus does. Why would they not be invited to join his intercession and the things that he's dreaming and planning for you and release those over your life? Why not? I don't have a scripture and verse for it to tell us that other people pray for us in heaven. But I can't imagine that they wouldn't be thinking of us and cheering us on and decreeing God's best over us. Psalm 40, verse 7. Let's go there. Psalm 40. Again, it's just a small verse, but it says, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written within my heart. I proclaim glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation, and I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, you know. I've not hidden your righteousness within my heart, but I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I've not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. And there, David is talking again about the book that was written about him. And so, for David to know that, he had to at some point have got revelation knowledge of the fact that that book existed, and maybe even accessed it, I don't know. But personally, I don't believe God needed a reminder of what he had for us, because he's the omnipotent God who knows all things. I think that book was more for our sake than for his. And so if that book is more for our sake, then can we access it? I believe we can. And there are different ways we access the knowledge of what's in the book of our life. And I want to talk about some of those today. First of all, is it possible to not see God's dreams and what's written in the book of our life fulfilled? Sadly, yes. You know, and there are different things that will stop that. And in Isaiah 29, it talks there, the prophet is talking and he's saying about, again, about the books. Let me just go there for a minute. 29:11. He's talking about he's talking about visions and dreams, and that there are books that are sealed. And one of the things there that he appears to allude to is the fact that when our reverence for God is tradition learned by rote, it places a seal over our books. So religiosity is probably a better word, binds us to a place where we don't see the fulfillment of what's written in our books necessarily. Another reason our books might be sealed, have we ever asked for them to be opened? Good question. I don't know. Some of the things that can keep our books sealed and stop us from walking in the fullness of what God has for us. Religious traditions that blind our eyes to see and our understanding. A life without vision causes us to wander aimlessly. Scripture tells us that those without a vision perish or wander aimlessly. Where do you get your vision from? From the things God's written, from the things God's revealed before the foundation of the world, of what he wants you to walk in. A life spent on ourselves and our desires can cause us to miss our purpose. Another one, letting life dictate to us how things will be, believing that we have no power over life. And that's something that dear old Doris Day, lovely lady, but que sera, sera, come on. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Fate, you know, belief in fate will actually stop you finding your purpose and fulfilling it, because fate is all about whatever will be, will be. Life has power over me instead of I have power over life. A deceptive orphan or poverty mindset will stop us from fulfilling God's desires. Unbelief and apathy. The book of exploits that's written about your life is amazing. the dreams that God dreamed for you, the things that he has for you. How can we find out what's in those books? Oh, different ways. One of the things that one way we can find out, and you'll go, oh, this is so boring. This is like ho-hum. One of the ways you can find out what's written in your book, what does Scripture say about who you are? What's already written about who he's made you to be and the promises that he's made for you? Those things are part of your book. They're in your book. The promise to fulfill his plans and purposes for you, the promise to provide the provision that you need to see everything that he's calling you to be done. That's part of what's in your book. So if we don't know the things that are in this book, if we don't know the things that he said about us in Scripture, who are you? Did you know one of the things that's written about you in your book is you are the light of the world? Did you know one of the things that's written in your book is I am the Father, are one? Because you're in Christ and you've been brought into oneness with the Trinity. Dude, just those two things alone, exploring the reality of those in your life, could take like years to explore the fullness of those. What does it mean to be the light of the world? What does that mean? What does that look like? So much. Oh, yum. Another way that God shows us what's in the book of our life, or can show us, through dreams. And I know this comes up lots as I come here, but dreams are one of the major ways God speaks to us. You know, learn how to work with God in your dreams. Learn how to access your dreams. Learn how to interpret them and see what God is saying. Don't forget that some of your dreams are not just dreams, they're night encounters and visions of the things that he has for you and the things that your spirit is doing as well. So accessing your scroll can be done through the dreams that God gives you, or accessing the book. Direct revelation of God's will, the things God says to you personally about his calling on your life, about the assignments that he's giving you. You know, it can be somewhat overwhelming sometimes to get a call from God. You know, I've called you to be a prophet. Well, that's wonderful, but what the heck does that look like? And how the heck do I get there, God? You know, it's like you get there by putting, you know, doing what he puts in front of you one thing at a time. You know, by cooperating with him as he forms our character and as he forms those things within us. So direct revelation, what's God said to you? What's the things he's promised you? What are the dreams that he's put in your heart? The dreams that he's put in your heart, the dreams that you have in your life of things that you want to fulfill, are probably part of the book that was written about you before the foundation of the world. God gave you those dreams, and he gave you the ability to dream. Is your book fixed, or can it be added to? That's an interesting question to ask God. God, have you assigned everything? Or in my cooperating with you, can I dream and things be added to what you already had planned for me? Can we go bigger, God? Can this thing grow? Ooh. Interesting, eh? It's fascinating. By vision, you can ask to see it. Ask to see your book. And we've talked a lot in the past about different ways that God speaks, and one of those is by vision. And a lot of your vision, remember, a lot of your vision will happen internally. It won't always be external vision, seeing with your eyes. And interestingly, you know, and I'm sure I've explained this before, but all vision is actually internal vision. All vision is seen internally. Your eyes are simply receptors that take the information that is out here, and they take it and they take it back into your visual cortex, and your brain is where you see. Back here, internally, that's where you see. But we think it is all happening here. But all vision is internal. In the end. So you can give credence to what you see internally, because you have an internal vision center that not only takes the things that you're encountering in this day-to-day world, but takes the things of heaven and makes them accessible as well. And so ask God, what does your book look like? We did this last weekend. We had Ian Johnson with us for the weekend and did a mentoring weekend for seers and prophets down at our home in Tauranga. And this was one of the activations that happened. And people saw their books. Most of them just saw the cover. But what if you could see inside? What if you could see the things that God had written for you? What if you could see the exploits that he had dreamed for you? Most of us in this congregation are getting on a little bit in years. You know, we're, most of us are over 40. Nicely put. And, you know, and if you're anything like me, it's very easy to think, oh, the best of my life is past. You know, we get this barrage, don't we, from the world of over the hill and it's time to retire. And then in church, sometimes you get it as well. It's time to pass the baton on to the next generation. As if this is a relay race. You know? I always say, never give up your baton. If you give up your baton, you're out of the race. It's like, I ain't giving up my baton. You know? I'm running. And I'm going to run right to that end. One of the things that God is doing globally at the moment is moving on the seniors in this world, giving them fresh vision, fresh dreams, fresh impetus to release the kingdom in a new way. Many of you have been involved in things in the past. And what happens is sometimes you can get locked in your mindset to, this is how I operate, this is my gift, and this is how I function. And we can continue to function in something long past the time when we should have put it down. Because God's had new assignments for us and new things for us to explore and move in. And many of us hold on to what we used to be involved with, and we go, but this is who I was. And yes, it is who you were. Yes, it's what you did actually, not who you were. But you know what I mean. yes, this is what you did. But what you did doesn't define you, and it doesn't define all your days. There are new avenues of ministry for you. And for some of you, over the next little while, God is going to give you fresh dreams and fresh visions. And the book of your life is going to be open to you at this chapter. Don't look back at your old chapters and go, oh, but this was my ministry. Who says you have to have the same ministry your whole life? And who says that your ministry has to be defined by a certain gift? In the 80s, many of you were around in church in the 80s, and there was a lot of spiritual gift questionnaires and things like that. Find out your spiritual gift. And unfortunately, while that was good, what it did was it locked many people into, this is my gift, so therefore this is the only place I can operate. You are far, far. There is far more to you than one gift. And what was your main gift, according to your spiritual gift questionnaires, might not be the most appropriate gift for you to walk in this season of your life. It might not be the gift that opens doors of favor to you. What you need to ask is, what's the gift that will open the doors of favor to me in this season? What's the thing that you have me to walk in that will open the doors of favor to me in this season? And for some of you, that might be the business realm. For some of you, it might be a so-called spiritual gift. But be prepared to lay down those things of the past in order to walk into what God has for you in this season. Another way we can access the scroll or the book of our life is by prophecy. And many of us have had prophetic words spoken over us. And some of those things have given us glimpses into what God has for us to walk in. But the reality is, for many people, they go to their graves with their prophetic words unfulfilled, because we don't know what to do with them once they're given to us. So what I want to do in the little bit of time that's left this morning is just begin to take that and look at, how do you draw your prophetic words into your reality, and how do you walk them out? Okay, so that's part of what I want to do. I can remember many years ago going to hear a prophet from the States, Ruckins McKinley, and it was him that set me on this path of thinking. And he said he didn't believe that prophetic words always put something on you that wasn't already there, but rather that they called up something out of you that had been there all the time, but that you didn't know was a part of who you were created to be. And I firmly believe that there's aspects of truth to that. I do believe that prophetic words can launch you into a gift that you never operated in before. But I believe that that was already written about you in your book. So, one of the things I want to encourage you to do with your prophetic words is, don't get the mindset that God will magic your word into being for you. Sometimes we get that mindset from Isaiah, where God says, my word that goes forth from my mouth will never return to me void, but will accomplish what I send it to do. And for some Christians, that puts the thinking in their mind, oh good, I don't have to do anything. I can just sit back and wait, and God's suddenly one day going to make it all happen. God's going to be a genie. Oh, you're now a preacher before thousands. But if you don't know how to prepare a sermon or how to access revelation and hear God speak to you, then you're going to stand up there, and if God does suddenly place you in front of thousands, you're going to stand up there and go, because you haven't done what's necessary to prepare yourself to step into what God has for you. So don't think God's going to be a genie and magic it up for you. Prophetic words are given to us to bring us into a place of journeying with God toward a desired outcome. In other words, prophetic words are not about passing on information. Prophetic words are about issuing an invitation. That's a huge mindset shift for the church right now and the prophetic people of the world. We've looked at the prophetic gift as being the passing on of information. This is what God says, instead of issuing an invitation. Because God is a relational God. And so anything that he does is about inviting people into a place of relationship and relational journey with him. And so if a prophetic word is primarily an invitation rather than just information, then what am I being invited into? And how do I journey with God relationally to see the desired outcome that God has just spoken over me? So some very basic things, but very simple. First thing, if it doesn't make sense, don't stick it on the shelf. Now, I know many of you will have heard, if it doesn't make sense, put it on the shelf. We've heard that for years. But the reality is, for most people, when they put it off on the shelf, they forget about it. And it's out of sight, out of mind. Don't put it on the shelf. Be like Mary, who took the words that were spoken over her and she pondered these things in her heart. And while the word that was spoken to her was pretty plain, you couldn't sort of get that one, you know, the interpretation of that one too much mixed up, you know. That pondering, as she pondered it, it began to establish it within her. And while you may not yet know the full understanding of what God said to you, allow it to begin to get established in you by pondering it in your heart. Weigh it up before God. Ask, is this word actually from him or from the person's soul? Because sometimes people can prophesy from their soul. Or they can prophesy from what they see externally about you and make some assumptions. And unfortunately, that does happen. You know, you see somebody who's in a dirty T-shirt. We turned up to Ray's yesterday. He'd just mowed the lawn. You can imagine what he looked like. His T-shirt was old. His white, I don't know why he wore white pants to mow the lawn. I mean, hello. They had green stains all over them. In the natural, sometimes we can take some things from that, you know, and we could go, oh, this guy can't really afford good clothes, you know. Ignore the bit about mowing the lawn, you know. If a guy's got dirty T-shirt and ripped jeans, you make some assumptions. We all do it. So, unfortunately, sometimes prophetic people can make assumptions. So you have to weigh the word, and Scripture tells us to weigh the words that are given to us. How do we weigh them? We weigh them, first of all, against God's nature and character. Who is God? What is he like? What's his heart for mankind? What are the things that he said? Does this line up with the things that he said about who he is? If it's a word of judgment, it doesn't come from God. How do we know that? Because Scripture tells us there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So if you're getting a prophetic word that is a word of judgment over you, you can toss it straight away. Weigh it up. If you want some other guidelines of how to weigh up a word, go to our New Zealand Prophetic website, New Zealand Prophetic Network website, which is nzpropheticnetwork.com, and you'll find there a section that gives you how to weigh up prophetic words and the things that you measure them by. If it is a word from God, believe it. That's a good start. But unfortunately, a lot of us never get to there. We go, oh, great, I had a word about me. And we sit back and wait to see what happens. But we don't actually believe it. We don't grab hold of it and believe it and go, my goodness, God, you wouldn't say this unless you saw within me the potential to be this person and do these things. Receive it comes with that. Write it out. It's too easy to forget what's said or only remember the part of it that you clicked into. And most of you will understand what I mean there. When you're being prophesied over, there will be certain parts that you'll just hook into, and then you won't hear what came after that for a little bit because you got captured by that bit. But when it's recorded and you write it out, then you get the word in its entirety. And yes, that takes some time writing it out, but it's well worth it. Because then you can read it and feed off it. And you've got that written record of it. But it's also important for when you need to war with it. Begin to pray into its fulfillment. Spend time thanking God for his plans for your life. Ask him how you can cooperate with him to see this word fulfilled 100%. Declare it over your life. Take that prophetic word and make it into declarations that you can declare over your own life. Father, I thank you that I am one who ministers your word, and I minister it with power. And begin to declare it over your life. Submit it to a trusted mentor or leader. And I say submit it not to get them necessarily, although this is part of it, necessarily to double check it and make sure that this is an accurate word for you. But one of the reasons I say submit it is because when you are given a prophetic word from someone, it's a brilliant chance to do a stock take. What are the things that are in my life right now that would stop me walking in the fullness of this word? Many of us don't do stock takes, but they're good to do every now and then. What are the things that need to change in my character? If God says I'm going to handle millions of dollars and I still steal from my mum's purse, some things have got to change. Does that make sense? Ask those leaders or mentors or trusted people, what are the things they see in your life that would stop you fulfilling that word? And get them to pray with you. Be accountable. Make yourself accountable to others. This is the word God's given me, and I want you to walk with me in the process of this word becoming fulfilled in my life. Share with others. It's very easy when we keep those prophetic words just to ourselves to not do anything about them. But when we include others in our walk, and 6 months down the track, and we say, for example, say God told me in a prophetic word that I was going to preach the word. And I know that part of that is learning how to put a sermon together. And so I'm talking with you about it, and I'm going, this is what God said over my life, that I'm going to preach the word. As friends and family, we have relational accountability with each other. Not hierarchical. I'm not talking about hierarchical accountability. I'm talking about relational accountability. And so, as my family, you have a right to come to me and say, hey, have you learned how to put a sermon together yet? Ouch. But it's easier to keep it to yourself and not share that with other people, because then you don't have to be held accountable the same. Cooperate with the Lord. Know when to get out of the way and let God do it, and when to prepare so God can act. There are times when you have to get out of the way and let God do it, but there are other times when you have to do some preparation so that God will come through and do what he's going to do. And that part of that is you're walking with him in relationship, saying, God, what's the next step? What do I do? Get training if you need to. You know, again, if God calls you to be a nursing missionary, probably some nursing schools would be handy. Unless you're going to rely 100% on the miraculous power of God to fix everything that you encounter, in which case, maybe you better start praying for healing now for people rather than waiting till you get out on the mission field. You know? Get Todd White's stuff. Get Bill Johnson's stuff. Get someone's stuff. Randy Clark's stuff. Get some training in you so that you know how to pray for the sick. That's a good place to start. If you're going to go and you're going to build mission centres, then maybe some basic carpentry skills could be a good thing. Or maybe knowing how to draw a basic plan and do the measurements for a building could be a good thing. You know, it's not just all spiritual. Do you need to learn a language, learn a trade, learn about the customs of a country, whatever? Speak the word over yourself frequently. Pray prophetically over your life. Pray and thank God as if it was already an established reality. That's how faith prays. Faith doesn't put it off into the future. Faith sees it as if it's an established reality and prays and walks from that perspective. Confession changes the dynamics around your life. What you confess is what you walk in. If you confess, we were talking about this with Ray and Pam yesterday, if you confess that you are getting old and losing your mobility and losing your senility, then guess what will happen? You will lose your mobility and you will lose your senility. Because you'll prophesy over your life something that you set in motion. Speak the word over yourself. Job 22:28 says, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established for you. That's a powerful scripture. And I know for me personally, I don't understand fully the power of that scripture yet. And I'm not walking in the fullness of it. Not fully. Not positively. I may be walking in a lot of it unknowingly because I didn't know the power of my words and I spoke some things and established them, sadly. Did you know, and they're still, obviously still doing tests on this sort of thing, but your DNA can be changed by the words that are spoken over you and the things that have happened to you. Your DNA is not fixed and set. Your DNA even can be affected by the things that you speak over your own life and the things that happen to you, the traumas that you encounter and stuff. But our words are so powerful. See yourself doing what it is God has said that you will do. Use your God-given vision center. Use your God-given imagination and see yourself doing that thing that he's called you to do. I can remember a guy that we've met a couple of times but was sharing, and he had a prophetic word over him that he would stand in crusades and preach to thousands. And he said, before I ever stood on a crusade stage and preached in front of, you know, tens of thousands of people, every day I lay on my bed and I saw myself doing it. I spent time building it into me by seeing it. Because what you see, you can walk in. Have deliberate faith. Deliberate faith draws on the prophetic word. It draws the things that you're believing for, it draws them to you. Faith is an activator. And it activates things. And it's a substance that you get to work with in the spirit that is a substance that creates. Faith is amazing. I'm going very quickly through this stuff. War with your prophetic word. Don't just sit back and be, you know, whatever will be, will be. War with it. Father, you've said this is what you've got for me, and I'm not seeing it yet. Father, in Jesus' name, I decree that this is who I am and this is what I walk in. Warfare is not necessarily always coming against demons. Most of our warfare happens here. It happens with our own thoughts and bringing them into submission to Christ and into the word of Christ over our life. Another thing, faithfully do what's already before you. Most prophetic people particularly, but this happens with prophetic words as well. Most prophetic people live so much in the future, they don't know how to live in the now. Do faithfully what's already before you. Know that that is part of the training that God has for you. And you will learn, you might look at things that you're doing and God, I don't know how this is preparing me for what you have for me. But God does. And he will not waste anything that you're learning at the moment. And know that his timing is accurate in your life. Sometimes it's a while and our prophetic words haven't come to pass. And we're chomping at the bit. It's like, come on, God, when's it going to happen? There are other things at play, and God is moving and shifting and rearranging and changing things and getting things into place. And Lastly, let the peace of God fill your heart and your mind. Know that God's plans for you are not given to tease you. Prophetic words are not given to tease you. They're not given as a carrot to dangle in front of you that you can never quite reach. They're given because he intends for them to come to pass in your life. And he intends for you not only to walk in them, but to be the person who can walk in them and sustain the work that happens. Does that make sense? And I know that was a big list of things, but it's one of the things that I see time and time again. People come to me and they'll go, oh, God gave me this word years ago and I still haven't seen it come to pass. And when you talk with them, it's because they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to cooperate with God in seeing it, drawing it, grabbing hold of it. And rather than it being somewhere out there in the future, grabbing hold of it by their faith and their cooperation with God and pulling it toward them and them toward it until they collide. And that's what's happening as you do this. You're grabbing hold of it and you're pulling it toward you, and at the same time you're being pulled toward it until you collide. And an explosion of power and destiny is released that was written about you before the foundation of the world, before you existed. So, homework, get your prophetic words out, dust them off, because they haven't lost their power. And God still wants to bring them to pass, and you're not too old. No matter your age, your prophetic words have not lost their power. They have as much power resident within them to be brought to completion as they did the moment God released them. Dust them off, get them out, begin to pray into them again. But the other part of your homework, ask Papa to show you your book. Ask him to show you what was written about you as he dreamed you. Because it's as you grab hold of that, that you'll walk in purpose and you'll walk in, I don't like the word, but in destiny. You know, destiny has that sort of thing of you have no power over it. This is what's going to happen. But there is something that God has for you to fulfill. So, Papa, we thank you for that. Thank you for each of these precious people and the things that you've said to them personally in your times with them, the dreams that you've planted within them. Father, the things that you've called them to. Father, thank you for the dreams that they've had in the night. Father, where you've shown them things and given them glimpses. Father, thank you for the visions they've had. Thank you for the things that they've read in Scripture that have leapt into their heart and they've gone, oh, I'd love to walk in that. Because that was you releasing something to them right there. That was one of the things that you had written in your book about them. And they read it, and a corresponding leap happened because they knew somehow in that moment that this was meant to be for them. And it came up as desire. Father, thank you for the prophetic words that have been spoken over them in the past. And the prophetic words that will be spoken over them in the future. Thank you for assignments given and callings released. Whoa. And Father, thank you for the gift of understanding and wisdom to know how to walk into those things that you've called us to. Thank you for the invitations that have been issued to each person here and the prophetic words that they've been given. The invitation to journey with you toward a desired outcome. Thank you that those prophetic words are not carrots dangled in front of them or promises that you don't intend to fulfill. Because you're the one who does not lie. And you're the one who does not go back on your word. And Father, where in the past we've put aside our prophetic words and we've gone, I don't see how that could ever happen. Father, we repent of our attitudes of unbelief. And Father, we thank you that you will give us understanding and wisdom in how to grab hold of them and walk toward them.